Title: Clip Gain Before Processing in Ableton Live 12 Intermediate. Alright, let's lock in a mixing habit that will instantly make your drum and bass sessions feel more controlled, more repeatable, and honestly more professional. Today's focus is clip gain before processing in Ableton Live 12. Not faders, not turning the compressor threshold until it stops hurting. We're talking about setting the input level to your device chain on purpose, so your EQ, saturation, compression, and bus glue all behave consistently. Here's the core idea to keep in your head the whole time. Clip gain is your input level to the entire chain. Set it first, then process. Because in D&B, everything is intense. Amen breaks, sharp snares, dense tops, big re-space if your levels are chaotic going in. Every processor reacts differently from section to section. And then you end up mixing the same problem 5 different times. Let's build a simple workflow around 4 areas. A breakbeat loop, kick and snare layers, a re-space, and then staging into drum and bass buses. Step 0. Set up your session so it's D&B ready. Put your tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. Group all your drum elements into a group called drum bus. Group your bass layers into a group called bass bus. And here's a big one. While you're building the mix, keep your master peaking roughly around minus 6 dBFS. You can push later. D&B gets dense fast, and headroom is what stops your drop from turning into crunchy accidental distortion. Now, quick clarity check. Where does clip gain actually live in Live 12? For audio clips, like breaks, tops, loops, vocals, recorded audio, click the clip. Go down to clip view and use the gain control there. That gain happens before the track devices, so it's truly driving the chain. For MIDI instruments, there isn't a literal clip gain knob in the same way, so we fake the concept in the best way possible. Put a utility device at the very top of the chain and treat it as pre-gain. That utility is your input trim before everything else. So your workflow rule is: audio clips use clip gain. Instruments use utility first in the chain. Now let's do the break. Step 2. Clip gain the break before any processing. Imagine you've got an Amen-style break loop on a track called Break. Solo it. And don't listen to the easiest part of the loop. Find the loudest, messiest section. In breaks, that's often a snare flam, a fill, or a busy turnaround. Now in clip view, adjust gain so the track peaks somewhere around minus 12 to minus 9 dBFS. That's a rough target. Don't get hypnotized by exact numbers. The goal is consistency. Teacher note here, the moment you set clip gain, you're basically deciding how hard the break will hit your saturator, how hard it will hit your compressor, and whether your EQ moves feel gentle or extreme. If the break is too hot, your compressor will overreact and you'll spend the whole session chasing thresholds. If it's too quiet, you'll overdrive later stages to compensate and it'll get harsh. Now add a basic stock chain after the clip gain. First, EQ 8, high pass around 25 to 35 Hz to remove rumble. If the break feels boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Then drum bus, start light, drive maybe 2 to 8%. Boom, keep it careful, 0 to 10% max, because that can get flubby fast. And transients, try plus 5 up to plus 20 for snap. D&B likes bite. Then glue compressor, ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 3 milliseconds. Release on auto. And aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Here's the checkpoint. If you change the clip gain later, the amount of compression changes. That's not a mistake. That's the whole point. Clip gain is the input that drives the chain. Now step 3. Kick and snare layers. D&B drums are almost always layered. You might have a clean punchy kick plus a click kick, and a snare body plus a snare crack layer. The goal is to keep those layers feeding your processing in a controlled way. For audio one-shots like kick and snare, set clip gain so each element peaks roughly around minus 10 to minus 6 dBFS. Again, rough target. Then do your balancing with the track faders. That separation is important, so I'll say it clearly. Clip gain is input staging. Faders are mix balance. If your snare saturator is fizzing out and getting ugly, pulling the track fader down won't stop that distortion, because the saturator is earlier in the chain. You'd pull the clip gain down, or reduce the drive, or do a post-trim, but the fader alone doesn't fix too hot into the device. Let's do a snare chain example with stock devices. EQ 8 first, high pass somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz depending on how much low body you want. If you want chest, a controlled boost around 180 to 220 Hz. For crack, a small boost around 4 to 7 kHz. Then saturator, mode, analog clip, drive around 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. Then compressor, Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so the transient pops through. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds, and shoot for 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction on the hardest hits. Coach note, if your snare doesn't cut, don't instantly reach for a huge EQ boost. Often the real fix is level into saturation. A slightly different input level changes the harmonic structure, so the snare speaks without becoming painfully bright. This is why clip gain first is money. Now step 4, respace. For Reese instruments in Waveedable, operator, sampler, whatever you're using, utility at the top becomes your clip gain. Put utility first, mentally label it, pre-gain. Adjust utility gain so the bass channel peaks around minus 12 to minus 8 dBFS, depending on how dense the arrangement is. Then a classic DNB-friendly chain could be, saturator with drive maybe 3 to 10 dB, soft clip-on, EQ 8, high pass 25 to 35 Hz. If it's muddy, a gentle dip around 120 to 250 Hz. Multi-band dynamics if you want that controlled, slightly OTT-style density, but be careful not to crush it. Auto filter if you want movement, and a limiter only as safety on the channel, not as a loudness strategy. Important habit, if you change the Reese patch later, revisit PRE gain first. Don't compensate by randomly slamming the saturator drive, because then you're stacking unpredictability on top of unpredictability. Now let's get serious. Step 5. Gain staging into buses. Route your break, kick, snare, hats, tops into drum bus. Route your Reese, sub, mid layers into bass bus. On the drum bus, start with a utility at the top, even if it's at zero. It gives you control if the whole group is hitting too hard. Then a glue compressor, ratio 2 to 1, attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release auto. Try to keep it in the zone, 1 to 2 dB gain reduction most of the time. Then optionally drum bus for a bit more drive and transient shaping. Here's the clip gain logic moment that changes everything. If your bus compressor is hitting too hard, don't immediately fix it by tweaking threshold. First ask, what's making it hit too hard? Usually it's a specific offender. A break fill spike, a loud snare layer, maybe the kick that's normalized and way hotter than everything else. Go to the source and reduce clip gain there, because bus compression in DNB should glue. It shouldn't be rescuing chaos. On the bass bus, similar concept. Utility at the top for pre-gain, EQ8 cleanup, glue compressor for light control, and saturator if you want density. And remember, DNB bass can feel massive without peaking massive. A bass that bullies the master is usually a bass that isn't staged well, especially in the sub-region. Now step 6 is where clip gain becomes a creative tool, arrangement-based clip gain moves. This is automation without automation. First, break fills. Fills spike. That spike slams your bus compressor. The bus claps down right before the drop, and you lose impact. So split the break clip around the fill using controller CMD plus E, and pull the clip gain down just on that fill slice, maybe minus 1 to minus 4 dB. Even better coach move, if lowering the whole fill makes it feel weak, micro-slice just the first 30 to 80 milliseconds of the fill transient and pull only that down. You stop the compressor from overreacting, but you keep the energy of the tail. That's a super clean trick for DNB. Second, make the drop feel louder without clipping. Instead of pushing the master, stage the pre-drop down. In the intro or drumless sections, lower clip gain on key elements like bass or atmos by minus 1 to minus 2 dB. Then, when the drop hits, return to your normal calibrated clip gain, or even plus 0.5 dB if needed. You get contrast, impact, and stable processing. That's the dream combo. Third, jungle-style break control. Old jungle breaks can be wildly dynamic. Micro-slice the loud snare hits or harsh transients and pull clip gain down by minus 1 to minus 3 dB. Your saturation and compression will work more evenly, and you don't have to squash the entire break just to catch a few spikes. Now a few common mistakes to dodge. Mistake 1. Using track faders instead of clip gain to drive effects. Fader moves come after devices, so they won't fix too hot into saturator. Mistake 2. Changing clip gain after you dialed in compression. If you do adjust clip gain later, recheck your compressor threshold and gain reduction. You changed the input, so you changed the behavior. Mistake 3. Over-normalized samples. A lot of one-shots are normalized near 0 dBFS. Drop that into a heavy DNB chain and you'll distort without meaning to. Clip gain them down first. Mistake 4. Expecting bus compression to do leveling. In DNB, bus compression is glue. Clip gain is your leveling tool. Mistake 5. Setting gain based on the commist section. Always audition the loudest fill or the most intense part of the loop. Now some intermediate coach notes that will seriously level you up. First, clip gain versus warp and stretch. If your audio clip is warped, the transient peaks can change depending on warp mode. Beats mode can keep things punchier and more predictable, while complex or complex pro can smooth peaks and change what the compressor reacts to. So the coach order is, choose warp mode first, then set clip gain, then dial compression. Second, stop chasing peak numbers only. DNB loops can have huge peaks but not a lot of body, or the opposite. Sometimes you get more consistent results by matching short-term loudness, basically perceived density, before processing. Peaks matter, but your ears matter more. Third, pre-effects trim is a tonal decision. Hitting a saturator harder doesn't just get louder. It changes the harmonic distribution. More input tends to add bite and density. Less input can keep transients cleaner and preserve contrast. So decide the role. Clean punch drums, stage slightly lower. Grit glue drums, stage slightly higher, then trim after. And that leads to a powerful workflow, the two-stage gain approach. Stage 1 is clip gain or pre-utility, which controls how hard devices react. Stage 2 is a post-trim utility, which restores level for mix balance without changing device behavior. And when you /B drive decisions, do it fairly. If you push plus 2 dB into saturation, pull minus 2 dB after. Now you're judging tone and envelope, not being tricked by loudness. If you want an even faster workflow, build a calibration rack you can drop on any channel. Make an audio effect rack called PRE to process to post. Utility first for input trim. You're processing in the middle. Utility last for output trim and a mono button for quick low-end checks. Map macros for input trim, output trim, and mono. Now let's do a quick practice exercise to prove the concept in your ears. Grab a break loop, one snare, one shot, and a respace. Set up chains like this. Break, EQ8, drum bus, glue compressor, snare, EQ8, saturator, compressor, res, utility pre, saturator, EQ8. Now do the test on the break. Set clip gain so it peaks around minus 10 dB FS. Dial glue compressor to around 2 dB of gain reduction. Now increase clip gain by plus 3 dB. Listen, this audio version is shortened for playback.